Welcome to the fifth episode of DeMol Belgium Germany Recaps from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Harmstone, and joining me as always is the Canadian who I'm pretty sure has a video in his collection where someone slings a sausage around another man's neck, Logan Saunders.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We genuinely haven't spoken for like 5 days on a podcast, which is pretty bad for us.
For 2021, yeah.
And you've lost a fair bit of weight.
Yeah, I keep going down. I actually have to try and get some additional calories in me because I'm thinking, I shouldn't be losing weight this fast.
Trolling your Instagram?
Yeah.
You've been doing some AMAs as well, including answering one that was sent from the RTV Warriors account?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd troll you a little. You didn't answer the duck-sized horse question, which I was very disappointed about, but you answered the reasonably serious one. So, bit of housekeeping to begin with. I misspoke given my lack of SpongeBob knowledge last week, and Carl did correct us on Twitter that the English name of Droopy is actually Drizzle, because Drizzle is a cloud, which we could have got the context from Storm Rising or whatever the episode title was last week.
Ah, we got corrected on our knowledge of SpongeBob SquarePants dubbed in Dutch.
We did, and actually, I'm quite impressed that it's taken 5 episodes for us to get corrected on anything, given the frequency of corrections last year. I know we've got subtitles, so it's slightly different this year, but I think we were up to about 4 corrections a week last year.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Sound like it, even on basic things.
And I would say that this was maybe my favourite episode of the season so far. This is exactly the sort of episode I expected when I heard German, and that is not a criticism in the slightest.
Yeah, the yodeling, although I didn't expect a Japanese guy to be featured in this episode.
It was just every Bavarian stereotype you can think of, and I kind of like that. I feel like if there's one show that can get away with borderline stereotyping, it's probably this show. Amazing Race has done enough of these sort of challenges that we roll our eyes whenever we see another one appear, but it actually works in DeMol Belgium.
Yeah, and this challenge is quite the... It is quite memorable, I would say.
So previously, the final 7 compared themselves to animals before playing a game of bubble football in the Olympia Stadium, where Philip, Katrine and Samina couldn't stop €4,000 being kept from the pots. When they drove to the Bavarian Alps, Katrine and Annalisa had a nice sedate day binge-watching, while Sven and Philip ended up winning the race to the top of the mountain and were rewarded with a night hanging off a cliff. An explosive challenge for Passfrag and saw Sven and Annalisa gain an advantage, but it was Katrine whose chances went up in smoke, as she was the 4th person sent home. And we open with some good old traditional Bavarian yodeling. And they are woken up by a Japanese-German yodeler called Takeo Ishii, who is filming part of his new music video, Der Maulwurf, and they get to be a part of it. It's really interesting they used Der Maulwurf as well, because that is the old title of German Mole. The first 2 seasons of German Mole were called Der Maulwurf, whereas in the 3rd one last year, which was a massive failure and you should never watch it again.
Again? You mean we should watch it a first time?
Anyone who has seen it, don't watch it again. It was awful. I still haven't seen the finale, even though I know who the mole was. The 3rd one last year was just labelled as The Mole. Voice the Mole is actually how they stylized it. But yeah, the original title was Der Maulwurf. So it was interesting to see it referenced here again. And the opening quote is a nice easy German one for me. Übung macht den Meister. Practice makes perfect.
I think it's a quote by Michael Scott, if I'm not mistaken.
I really wouldn't be surprised. I'm quite surprised they didn't credit it to anyone, although probably trying to find the etymology of practice makes perfect is fairly difficult. And it is day 12 in Frunten. Samina refuses to wear a dirndl, even though she's fully expecting to be forced to wear a dirndl. Lennart is volunteered to be the main man in the music video, both because he has rhythm and because he looks good in lederhosen. And Gilles meets them and tells them that they will be doing 6 different challenges, but first he needs a director. And they volunteer Sven pretty quickly, and he gets a storyboard. Takeo has videos of more than 20 million views on YouTube.
Never heard of him.
And we have never ever heard of him. And they have to incorporate 6 Bavarian traditions into the video, and it's Sven's job to make sure they're all done correctly. And they will earn €500 per task, and must take cultural traditions into account. If all 6 are done correctly, then the money is doubled.
I guess there's a bigger yodeling community than I realized. I didn't think the yodeling community would be big enough to have a single YouTuber get over 20 million views.
We have to bear in mind as well, this did film in October, and Bavaria would have been in like peak Oktoberfest mode, even though it was obviously a little bit scaled back because of the Rona. They still did some stuff for Oktoberfest. So all of these stereotypes would have been coming out at that point. I mean, when they were running around the Olympia Park, you actually saw Katrine go up to people who were wearing lederhosen and dirndls, purely because it's kind of Oktoberfest time. And the first challenge is the traditional knee-slapping dance of the Schuhplattlers. It is traditionally done by men, so two of the guys are going to have to do it.
This was definitely featured in Amazing Race 9.
Yeah, this was definitely Amazing Race 9, and I'm pretty sure they've done it since. But it's a traditional German stereotype they love to do.
At least it's not six dancing tasks like Amazing Race Canada 6. I'm just thankful for that. They kept it down to 2 out of 6.
The second challenge is another one that's been done in Amazing Race, which is holding a glass of beer at the same time, which is traditionally done by women. And they also have playing the Alpine horn, making sausages, sawing a tree, and an acrobatic closing act. And they get half a day to prepare, and even though he's directing, Sven, much to his irritation, still has to participate.
Pretty much all of these tasks have been done on Amazing Race, not even for Bavaria episodes. For instance, sawing the part of a tree was done in Amazing Race Family Edition's New Orleans leg, of all places. And the blowing successful notes into that horn, the kind of the variation of that, also in Amazing Race 9 with the didgeridoo task in Australia. And then there's always been some sort of acrobat performance once every few seasons. So, yeah, a lot of Amazing Race material here.
I do wonder if the location scouts overlapped.
Yeah, it's just Bertram Van Munster doing location scouting for both the Mole Belgi and Amazing Race.
Well, no, there would have been some sort of local field producers who would have suggested these things to Bertram, I'm assuming. There may be a bit of overlap.
Wouldn't surprise me if it's such a specific region, right? That's like, we need somebody who can be a location scout, who is local that can help us, and works in TV production.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know for certain, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of slight overlap.
I guess we'll have to look at the credits on IMDb for this episode.
Yeah. And the three men left begin with the Alpine horn to determine who's doing that and who will be doing the dancing. Sadly for him, Sven is a master at blowing the horn. Lennart, not so much, because he keeps forgetting to breathe. And Philip sounds like he's farting because he forgets to relax his lips. They have to nominate someone to blow 2 perfect notes to earn the €500 for that segment. Alex the guide says, much to his disappointment, that Sven would be his choice. And he tries to get out of it by saying he doesn't understand musical notes, but then relents anyway. Would you have rather blown the Alpine horn or done the slap dance?
I guess I would have tried probably blowing the Alpine horn, just to avoid the obligation of wearing lederhosen.
Well, no, Sven still had to wear lederhosen. They all did.
Yeah, right.
But I think blowing the Alpine horn's probably the easier choice.
It's also the more satisfying one. Anybody can just randomly slap themselves in the legs, but it takes real talent to blow into that horn.
So Sven, being the blower, means that Philip and Lennart will be doing the dancing. And the women have to take care of the sausage. In the music video, someone will have to sling a perfect sausage around Takeo's neck as he walks past singing. First, they have to make the sausages, though. Anna Lassa says she's done it before. And after 15 minutes, they have their first perfect sausage.
And there is a lot of phallic references when they practice. And it gets to the point where they can't even keep a straight face themselves.
Genuinely, when I was writing my notes, I had to remove references to blowing the Alpine horn and making sausages. And all the various dirty imagery that comes with it. Because there was a lot of phallic imagery in this challenge.
Yeah, Yasmin gets meat in her eye, and then they're all, and then Samina's struggling with the crank, and then they're like, "Oh, it's your first sausage."
Don't you just hate it when you get meat juice in your eye?
Yeah, don't you hate it when it all just gets in your eye?
I did think it was a step too far to call you the Canadian who really hates getting meat juice in his eye.
Who does like getting meat juice in their eye? Is the question.
That is the question that I think we all want answering.
Is that going to be on the quiz?
Question number 7. Who wants meat juice in their face?
And then they have to have the very serious quiz-taking music and one of the contestants staring like, I saw Yasmin, Samina, and Anna Lott at the meat task. And they all got meat juice in their eye, and Samina seemed to be the only one who remotely enjoyed it. She could be the mole, but I don't know. She has brought a lot of money into the pot.
So the lads get a demonstration of the Schuhplattler dance. Philip looks a bit overwhelmed. And then in our banner image this week, which you have already seen because it just made me laugh far too much when I was watching the episode yesterday, Sven watches them, and his reactions are utterly delightful when they struggle, even though it's very slow.
So funny, it's like, women, listen to me. Listen to me, women. I'm like, how is this going over well?
I am genuinely now trying not to put Sven on the banners if I can help it, because he's got 3 in a row, I think it is now. But Sven is brilliant at reacting to things. He's always so pissed off at everything. Did you see the picture that I sent you from the LTV Warriors account, from Van Boel's account?
Yes, I just looked at it.
How cool is that? It looks like him, Axe, Bart, and someone from the Belgian version of The Bachelorette have been playing paddleball together or something. It's whichever one Tyson Apostle plays. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, and this is after Jeffrey from the Mexico season happened to bike past his apartment, and Jill and Van Boel didn't even go downstairs. He just took the picture from upstairs.
I genuinely love how even in the pandemic times, where, let's be honest, we know there isn't going to be a finale event again this year, even in the pandemic times, they're still all friends, all the alumni.
Yeah.
It's a real shame we can't go and meet Bart again this year.
We have to wait another year for Bart.
I just want to be friends with him and Axe, that's all. I just want us to get invited into their group. Sod the rest of them.
I want to bike past Van Boel's house and Van Boel yell at me down the street to stop so he can take a selfie.
Yeah.
I'd learn how to ride a bike just for that.
So the video will be filmed in one take, so Sven has to make sure the actions line up perfectly. As a result, the woodcutters have to drop a piece when the word Holz is sung, which is the German word for wood. Anna Lasser and Yasmin are the soloists and have a little bit of trouble with the timing. Samina is volunteered to be in charge of beer. She has to carry 7 full glasses and clink glasses with Sakeo when he sings the word beer. She struggles to carry all 7. She then asks Sven if there's another way, and Sven isn't sure, because he's not usually sober whenever he's in Munich. She decides to just rest it on her boobs, and to celebrate her success, Sven gets himself half a beer.
I shall celebrate your success by getting myself intoxicated. By the way, I have the most important role out of everybody.
At the start of this season, I'd compared Sven to Bart. I said I got a lot of Bart vibes from Sven. I am so glad that I did, because he, especially in this challenge, was peak Bart. I can easily imagine Bart in Greece doing this challenge and stopping midway to just get a beer.
Yeah, and he was really drinking that beer. I'm inclined to believe that was not his only glass.
He was taking advantage of being in Bavaria. So for the closing act, 2 candidates have to do acrobatic tumbling while the other 4 assist them.
And Leonard and Samina initially try this challenge, and it gets pretty gropey, I would say. Like how after being groped by Leonard a couple times, Samina's like, let's not have me do this. Who replaces her? It's Yasmin?
It's Anna Lotta.
Oh, Annalot, yeah. Annalot replaces, because Annalot and Leonard have the most similar body types.
Yeah, on paper, you don't put Samina and Leonard together. You put Leonard and Annalot because they're a similar height and similarly proportioned, basically. They are the obvious pair to make the tumblers here. Because this side challenge basically lives and dies on the people being similar enough that they can counteract each other, basically. You don't put Samina there. You put one of the young girls who's a similar height to Leonard, which is Anna Lotta. Because you're not going to get Sven doing it, you're not going to get Philip doing it, so it kind of has to be Leonard if it's a guy.
Or have Sven and Yasmin do it?
Like, as much as it would be hilarious to put Sven in there, you're not going to put Sven in there. Especially when Sven is controlling the challenge and wants to do as little as is physically possible to humiliate himself on national television. So while Lennart and Philip practice the dance, the rest get to see their outfits, and Sven says his lederhosen are a bit too small, he needs to eat less schnitzel. And we get a zoom in on his crotch.
Yeah, that's something we didn't need to see.
It really is.
It was an extreme close-up, and that shot lingered way too long. We're just filling up airtime.
So they get one rehearsal with Takeo, but then they have to do it for real, and for money. Philip fails the dance, Samina passes the beer, the Soras fail, Sven's horn passes, Samina fails the sausages, and they fail the closing act.
Yeah, Samina puts the sausage around the wrong person. They're like, Samina, that's not the challenge.
Yeah, Samina, wrong yodeler.
And Lent and Analogs don't even come close to the acrobat performance.
No. How would you play this challenge as a mole, do you think?
Well, one note was, do well in the rehearsal, and even before I knew who was doing what, I put an example. Maybe you do well on, say, blowing the horn during the rehearsal, and then you mess it up during the final performance. Guess what happens, and who it happens to?
I'm guessing you're still in a Sven tunnel then.
Oh, Sven's still in my top two by the end of this week, yes. So I'm like, he passed the rehearsal, but he failed the real deal Holy Field.
I was genuinely wondering whether you were going to still spec Sven after this week, because Sven, up to a point, was nearly in my top two this week. He's not, but I was sort of half and half about him. Him and Lennart, I was trying to decide who was going to be it. And, you know, spoilers, it's Lennart. So they film it for real, and whilst Takeo is judging it, they have a nice homemade dinner, which is sausages that were made by the girls. And in the end, he rejected the horn and the final stage, which means they earn €2,000 of €6,000 for the challenge.
I love Leonard's subtle sabotage of pressing his hands on the ground.
Yeah, as a mole, all you have to do is make sure one of the stages fails, and it isn't super obvious what made it fail, and then they can't earn the double money. That's the easiest sabotage, I would say, there. You make sure something fails, and then you try and blame someone else for it failing, which is essentially what Leonard does.
Yeah, you keep €3,500 out of the pot, no matter what.
Yeah, and everyone's pretty much involved in two of them, so you can then go, well, everyone's involved in two of them, I can make sure one of them succeeds.
I like how it's always the same two people that seem to be taking money out of the pot. It's Sven and Lennart again, especially Lennart. I don't think Lennart's had a 100% success rate in any challenge since the start of the season. Even by episode's end, I can't remember who says it's one of the, I think it's Yasmin or Analot who says, Lennart doesn't really earn much money for us.
She's not wrong. So Gilles comes in and reveals the results at dinner, and then immediately takes them outside, shoves them in a van, and drives off with them in the back.
Yeah, I think what sells it for me is the fact that he's the one that's driving the van. He's like, okay, everyone get in the back of the van, and I'm driving, and you don't know where we're going or why we're going there. Just trust me.
We've never seen Jill drive anything, I don't think.
Yeah, I was thinking, is it going to be like in Hollywood where you have somebody pretend they're driving, but it's really on some sort of flatbed truck? Because they like to do that a lot in TV shows and movies.
I don't think we've seen Jill drive since his trip to the Ardennes to hang off a bridge.
Be funny if he just gets epic road rage in Bavaria. Get off the road, asshole. I'm trying to film a TV show here. I'm Gil da fucking Costa.
From what you know of Gil da Costa, do you think he gets road rage? He is the chillest guy I think I've ever met.
No, he's just chill about everything in life except when driving.
Ah, is that right?
Just his one kryptonite. Like, he could stub his toe, people could be 2 hours late for dinner. You know, he could have skipped the dishes, deliver him his meal to the wrong address. But man, oh man, he gets driving on the streets and just all the frustrations of everything he's experienced over the past several months just all gets released when he's driving on the road. That's why he bikes and takes public transit most of the time, I think.
It almost sounds like you got personal experience with Skip the Dishes delivering to the wrong address, Saunders.
Yeah, I don't think they even have that in Belgium.
So yeah, Gilles kidnaps them in a van and takes them to a mystery location and puts them in front of six domes. And interestingly, something I did notice is that the van is actually Belgian. The van has Belgian license plates. It is not a German van. He pulls up in a yard with six tents set up. Due to the corona rules, it's a bit difficult, but six bubbles have arrived. It is their loved ones, as Sven predicted last week. Due to the fact that they're all in one big bubble together, they can't embrace their loved ones, but they do get to chat for the rest of the evening.
I like how Leonard says, "I'm searching for a hole."
Right after that task, really?
Yeah, really? Come on, guys. Let's keep this visit clean.
It's really sweet that they still managed to do the family visit. I know we're not going to have much to say about this entire scene, but I think it's really nice that they still managed to keep up with the family visit.
Yeah, because none of them are expecting. They're like, well, it's coronavirus. We're not going to be able to see our families. The best they were probably hoping for was maybe a phone call.
Yeah, we had a slight hint from Sven about it last week going, I hope I can get through this week to be able to see the family visit. But I don't think anyone else had mentioned it. It was a very left field thing, because even though I remembered Sven saying that last week, I still wasn't expecting it to be the families when the tents were set up. As Yasmin said, I thought it was going to be some sort of psychological challenge.
Yeah, you'll be trapped in the bubble, and you'll never be let out.
So yeah, we get our usual, is your loved one the mole confessional, just with a gigantic tent between all of them.
Somebody referred to Takeo as a Chinese yodeler. And I was like, pretty sure, what was his full name?
Takeo Ishii.
Yeah, I don't think he's Chinese. I've never heard of a Chinese person with the name Takeo Ishii. In fact, I went to a town in Japan called Takeo.
Wasn't that also a
tribe on Survivor Cambodia, yes.
Oh no, that's predictable. Wasn't that also a one-season CBS game show?
Takeo?
So that was TKO, wasn't it?
Oh, TKO, yeah.
I love how it's just become a known thing that they're going to do the Is Your Loved One the Mole confessional. And then they still somehow manage to do it and film it brilliantly, but with plastic between them.
It's probably still closer contact than that Facebook video call they did in Vietnam.
It is, but that was also incredibly expensive for them to do.
The life-size portraits?
Yeah, for the sponsors to sort that would have been very expensive to fly them from Belgium to Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah, once you get to Ho Chi Minh City, it's quite cheap.
Well, super cheap. No.
But yeah, the if you can't find a cheap airline that's willing to go there or a cheap deal, yeah, you're kind of screwed.
It's not South Africa cheap, but Vietnam is still very cheap.
Yes.
Yasmin's husband says he's struggling. He's having to work 100% at home due to how bad the cases are in Belgium at the moment. Anna also basically tells her sister that they're adopting Izzy. Sven's girlfriend says he can't have got this far unless he's the mole.
Yeah, I wrote down Charlotte's note too of, well, Sven, you must be the mole. Otherwise, how would you have gotten this far? And then Lucas says, swear on your kids, Yasmin, that you're not the mole.
And she's just like, maybe, maybe not.
She's like, I guess I'm not going to do that on TV.
Apparently, Sven's girlfriend's a journalist as well.
It'd be funny if one of them said, I'm surprised you're in this cast because... Funny story, a couple weeks ago, I was brought to a cornfield and put on a helmet, and I had to try and get to the other side of this cornfield and get into a car, but this teenager beat me there.
That would have been so funny if one of the alternates was someone's loved one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Samina's son Noah was apparently, did make it in, so maybe it did happen, because Samina did ask how Noah's grades were.
Imagine if it was Jens's loved one.
You're off the show, hubby.
Jens's girlfriend or whatever takes the helmet off and shakes her hair out, and then Jens goes home and he's like, fuck's sake, how did this happen?
Yeah. I posted the list of errands and chores that you left for me. I just rewrote them for you on the fridge at home. Goodbye.
Travel safe.
Travel safe. Hot for Dama.
So they are still in Fronten on day 13. We get a reminder of Izzy's challenge, which is to learn how to push a button. Sven says he can't bond with Izzy because every 5 minutes he has to take a pill and sneeze. And Samina wonders if Izzy is deaf. And Philip says Analos has always focused on the dog and not on the game.
And yet here she is. What's funny is if it ends up being hold the button as the challenge. I don't know if that website is still around. But back in the day, there was a website called Hold the Button where all you do is just... try to hold down the button on a website as long as you can.
I don't think they do that just because the specific instruction from Jill in episode 3 was push the button.
Oh, just push it, not hold the button.
No, it's push it.
Push it real good?
Yeah, so it'd be a little bit mean for them to say, oh, by the way, you should have trained Izzy on this, really.
Yeah, you should have trained Izzy to hold the position for as long as possible. See this dog just get all nervous and like shaky paw. I'm like, how much longer do I have to do this? And a lot. I really could use a sausage and a Bavarian beer right now.
It'd be cannibalism if Izzy had a sausage, because he's a sausage dog. Yeah. So they then drive to iconic Amazing Race location, Schliersee, which is where Jill's announcement pitch was taken, actually, at the church where he meets them. And he says to them that they are doing a jigsaw today, one which the mole completed 3 days before the trip. And they have to beat the mole's time and can earn up to €5,000 if they do. However, the puzzle pieces are in the water. If their puzzle is completed first, they will earn €1,000, and along the way they can do 3 challenges, which will add more money to the potential prize fund. You and I have history with jigsaws.
We're not good with jigsaw puzzles.
We are not good with jigsaw puzzles.
Imagine if one of us was the mole.
Oh, Christ.
They're like, oh, you guys failed another task. Let's fast forward another 30 minutes. Oh, he's got 7 more puzzle pieces locked in. Oh, you guys failed another half an hour. Oh, 5 puzzle pieces in. Oh, man, he gained 12 puzzle pieces on you guys.
I think it says it all that the mole's time was bad enough that they could genuinely add an hour and a half on, potentially, and the mole still wouldn't necessarily win. But yeah, in 2017, I think it was, Logan and I did an online version of Amazing Race, and in the very first leg, in which we somehow did actually quite well, we foolishly picked a jigsaw task, and it took us fucking forever.
Yeah.
We did not cover ourselves in glory with the jigsaw task, so as soon as Jill said they were doing jigsaws, I'm like, oh no, this is not our sort of challenge.
No, it's like, it's only our sort of challenge if one of us is the mole.
Yeah.
Be funny if in the footage you see, like, the mole just drinking a glass of wine in one hand while putting pieces in, not knowing that this is going to be a future time challenge, and then, I don't know, maybe an episode of Game of Thrones comes on TV, and like, oh, that's what happened to the Mad King, and then go back to their puzzle.
Yeah. So, on a stand-up paddleboard, they will find their first 100 pieces and are able to complete the puzzle on. There are 3 more buoys on the water where they can collect the remaining pieces from. Sven promises them that with his balance, he'll fall in more than once, and each puzzle piece that they're missing will cost them €100 from the potential winnings. The first buoy is 1 kilometre away. They can collect 100 pieces there. They get into a rhythm and are 10 pieces ahead of the mole by the time they get there, with 185 pieces done versus 175. At the first buoy, they will need to pick 3 candidates with endurance. They get the pieces regardless, but by winning the jewels, they can earn more money. And they pick Anna, Lotta, Yasmin, and Lennart, while the other 3 decide to paddle to the second buoy. How would you have done with this first challenge? How's your breath holding?
My ability to hold my breath was probably a lot better when I was swimming a lot more frequently, not so much during the pandemic. I got pretty good when I was island hopping around Southeast Asia.
Yeah, I googled this earlier. Apparently, the average fit human can hold the breath for about 90 to 120 seconds.
Yeah, you should be able to do well over a minute. So we actually, every summer, we used to go to my aunt's house in Washington State. Since we had nowhere else to go, that she just had a swimming pool in her backyard. And where I lived at the time, I wasn't living in Vernon yet. So when we were really young, we were living in a place that all we had was like a river or something. So we didn't really get to go swimming all that much. So going to my aunt's swimming pool for 2 weeks every summer was like the only time we really got to swim as much as we wanted to. So we always had like hold your breath competitions. And then, of course, when we moved to Vernon with having the 2 awesome beaches or the 2 awesome lakes to go to for swimming, we would do hold your breath competitions there. So yeah, you should be able to get well over a minute no matter what.
Yeah, apparently the Navy SEAL requirement is to hold your breath for 2 minutes without releasing any air bubbles.
I can see that, to be like an expert swimmer.
Yeah, I actually had to do a quick Google on this earlier. So before the trip, the mole held their breath for as long as possible. They have to try and beat the mole's time, holding their breath in a tank full of water. If they win, they'll add €1,000 to the stakes. If they lose, the mole's recording will fast forward by 30 minutes.
I'm very curious if the mole just tried holding their breath once or if they practiced a couple times.
Yeah, I think for fairness sake it probably had to be a one and done.
Yeah, I guess one person had to beat them, but holy hell, was this a hell of a one and done.
Having said that, a score of 2 minutes 39, which the mole does get, tells us that the mole is very fit. the mole is above average in terms of fitness. And bearing in mind that 2 minutes is the upper limit of a reasonably fit person, the mole has to be very, very fit to get 2 minutes 39, or very well practiced at it.
Because I was thinking too, like on Survivor, because they have Ozzy, who is supposed to be like the best, one of the best swimmers in the whole series. And then they had a confessional from Jonathan, I think, during Cook Islands. And he says, Ozzy can hold his breath for something insane, like 2.5 to almost 3 minutes. I'm thinking, are you serious? One of these Belgian contestants is as good as a guy who grew up in the ocean? I'm thinking, where are they swimming in Belgium to be able to hold their breath for 2 minutes and 39 seconds? Because that's not something you can do naturally. If you're getting that high of a time, yeah, you have to be like a fairly, maybe not super physically fit, but you have to be a frequent swimmer for sure.
Yeah, I think it narrows down our potential mole pool very rapidly if you consider that 2 minutes 39 is not just above average, that is very above average.
Yeah, that's like the top. You're talking probably the top 1 or 2 or 3% probably at that point.
The world record is 24 minutes and 3 seconds. But that is someone who is a professional freediver.
Oh yeah, those crazy free divers who like keep swimming down and down and down and down and down and then come back up. Yeah, those people are nuts. What is hilarious is that all three of these contestants combined for a time that's less than half of what the mole did on their own.
According to the Guinness World Records, like related records include most bones tattooed on the body. Don't know how that's related, and also most teeth at birth.
Do they have all of the records they approved for Turkmenistan? Because Guinness is kind of viewed as like supporting authoritarian governments.
I love that entire story.
The largest indoor Ferris wheel.
The most bones tattooed on the body is a bloke known as Zombie Boy, who's from Montreal. He has 139.
Well, I'm going to get 140.
There is actually a disclaimer on this Guinness record saying applications for this record title will only be accepted if the applicant is 16 years of age or over.
Yeah, it's just a like 10-year-old. I really regret this.
So yeah, none of them even come close. Leonard is the only one who really, really does anything decent. He gets 52 seconds, and that is after Annalotta freaks him the fuck out by pouring the water directly onto his head.
You gotta think that it's October, and you're pouring water from a random lake in Bavaria. That's gonna be some cold water. That'd be, the water is probably colder there than here in October, and I don't even want to imagine what that feels like. So my question is, was the mole's water that cold too? Did they have to handle water at an equivalent temperature? Because that would make, if it's like freezing water, that makes it so much tougher.
I would assume so, because if nothing else, there has to be an element of fairness, I would say.
Yeah, because you got to think, they're outside, they're already cold from paddling around and stuff, and then you're putting cold water into like a little thing that Izzy would probably have to wear on her head if she, after getting neutered or spayed.
So Schliersee's temperature that day got to a high of 17. That's obviously not the water temperature, but outside it was up to 17 degrees.
Yeah, so that water's going to be cold.
Yeah, it certainly won't have been warm. I think they would have kind of had to be reasonably fair with the mole's attempts, because let's be honest, if it obviously wasn't close at all, but if it was within a range of a couple of seconds, then that's a bit nasty if they then say, oh, but the mole had room temperature water poured on the head.
Yeah, and they were inside of a well-furnished room.
Yeah.
And then we have Yasmin try.
26 seconds after stopping mid-pour for an eye scratch from Leonard.
26 seconds. That's nothing.
And Anna also goes one step further and doesn't even make an attempt because she's panicked.
It's like a 26-second decrease in between each person. I'm thinking, wow, I know who I don't want to save me from drowning.
And as a result of their inadequacy, the mole's attempt is fast-forwarded by half an hour, and the mole reaches halfway on the puzzle.
I think the mole was still holding their breath half an hour into it.
Yeah. And the worst thing is, they actually relinquished their lead as a result of this, because on the way to the second buoy, they were six pieces ahead of the mole still.
Yeah.
because they've gone so far, the lead group gets far ahead, and Samina is the only one who's been doing any of the puzzle. The first group struggled to catch up because they've got a long paddle ahead of them. And they reach the second buoy, which looks for three candidates for an agility challenge. This time it has to be Samina, Sven, and Philip, who do not know how to paddle a stand-up paddleboard. The challenge is the old classic Bavarian game of water pistol mini-golf. Win and they add another €1,000 to the prize pot. Lose and the mole's time fast forwards by another half an hour. Philip is the first to attempt. He gets a time of 22.3 seconds. Samina sets a time of 17.4. However, the mole is even faster than that with the time of 14.5. Sven is the last person to attempt. He sets a time of 13.8 and they win the €1,000 increase. The other three decide to not paddle at all and just put the puzzle together. They are only five pieces behind the mole by the time that the agility group leave their challenge.
And then disaster hits.
Yeah. Then Sven paddles the complete wrong way.
And even Jill's jumps in and says, Sven doesn't realize he's standing the wrong way, and that's why he is constantly adrift. And then you just hear Sven go, hot for Donna.
And then Philip tries standing up, and it goes just as well as you would expect.
I lost my goggles. I can't see anything.
And then the group reunites and go full speed to the final challenge where Jill is awaiting.
After falling 20 times, I should add.
Yeah, after falling so much. Have you done stand-up paddleboarding out of interest?
Yes, I have. And I didn't find it, I didn't have to do it for that long because it was part of like an urban amazing race thing that I did a few years ago. But I found it, I got the hang of it quite quickly.
As long as you've got decent balance, I think it's not the hardest thing in the world. And decent balance is what you need for the final mini challenge, which Jill was awaiting for them anyway. Because all of them are required for this one, and it's a duel directly against the mole. Each of them will run across a course of stand-up paddleboards, and if the mole has the fastest time in the group, then they will get another 30-minute advantage. If the candidates win, they will add €2,000 to the stakes of the challenge. And those not participating in the stand-up paddleboards can work on the puzzle. However, the mole is currently 118 pieces ahead, and they have to do it around the corner so they can't spy on the mole or each other's times. And Jill tells them that they beat the mole on the course, so they are playing for €4,000. However, by the time he walks over, the puzzle was already finished by the mole, so they earn nothing of €5,000 of the challenge, €2,000 of €11,000 for the episode, and €14,600 of €60,000 for the season so far.
I like when Jill comes by, all I could think was, isn't he distracting them from completing the puzzle? Couldn't the mole still be working on the puzzle? But then it made sense when once he's like, okay, and I'm telling you all of this because the mole already finished. So I'm thinking, okay, at least he didn't like say, I'm going to talk to you guys for 5 minutes about what happened in the challenge. And then at the very end of his speech, he's like, oh, the mole just finished. You guys should have been working on the puzzle while I was talking. That's why you lose.
As soon as Jill walks over with a tablet, you know you're screwed.
Yeah. But yeah, it was funny though, just everyone sizing each other up though when they were doing their sprints through the water. Well, except for Philip, I wouldn't call Philip's a sprint. I would just call it a
flop.
An everlasting struggle. He got one board in and he kept messing up on the first board in that path. But yeah, just watching Philip crumble on the course there. And then when each person comes back, they have to be like, I'm just going to not say anything so nobody can get a read on me.
I don't know how the mole would have played that bit, to be honest. I think by that point, they probably knew they'd won anyway.
Yeah, I think so, given that they weren't even really that close to finishing the puzzle and Jill's was like, yeah, you guys already lost. I'm going to assume whether or not the mole was first or sixth to go, they knew they had already done the puzzle.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of them cases like with the Jeffrey Elimination Challenge where Jill probably said to the mole beforehand, you know you've won this, right? You don't actually need to put that much effort in here. You can just annoy them by letting them have €2,000 and then snatching it off them again.
Yeah.
So, it is now time for the test. 20 questions on the identity and actions of the mole. Whoever knows least is out of the game, except for the mole who can never go home. Samina says that today was a complete disaster. Sven is a natural klutz.
I like how everyone is stunned that they didn't win this challenge. They're like, oh man, how did we lose that? After falling in the water 30 times, Yasmin thinking that some of the puzzle pieces had been undone, epically failing at the hold your breath competition. How did we lose this?
Genuinely, outside of Sven winning the water pistol mini goal for them, that challenge was a complete write-off.
Yeah, because both groups, when they were trying to get back to the main puzzle boat, they completely floundered. Well, even the people who were, when Sven, Philip, and Samin were trying to get back to the boat, and Alot, Yasmin, and Leonard decided to just turn around so they had a fighting chance to reunite with everybody. So like, well, they're not going to get back here on their own. Look at Sven. He's going to end up in Austria by the end of this.
Philip says that Yasmin did a lot of the puzzle, but she didn't take control, and suggests that they did the puzzle while the mini-challenges were going on. Sven says that Philip was slow at paddling and kept pushing the paddleboard off balance, so he's going up Sven's list. Yasmin says that Sven was the first to ask why she fell in the water when Sven was the person who fell off the most. He didn't know what the horn should sound like, but he was good in all of the rehearsals. Anna Otta found lots of pieces of the puzzle on the ground. Something suspicious definitely happened with them, so even if they won on time, there would have been a penalty. Lennis isn't good at grabbing money. He put his hands on the ground in the tumbling challenge before she could grab his legs. Lennart says they exhausted themselves paddling. It didn't make sense for the other three to get so far ahead. And I've said this before, and I will say it again, the mole thumbprint transition is 100% a clue, and I don't know what it's referring to, and it's driving me nuts.
Star wipe, star wipe, star wipe.
So Jill says that it was a colourful episode, they acted like true Bavarians, had a lovely reunion with their families, and had fun on the puzzle, but that ultimately failed. They are heading to East Germany tomorrow, heading towards Berlin. One of them won't come along for the ride, though. It is Yasmin and Lennart who get green screens before Samina gets the red one. She says she was certain and put it all on one person. It was the right time to go all in. She had a bit of tunnel vizzy. Sven calls her a passionate woman and says she was a really cool person to travel with. And the most spectacular thing for her was the cornfield. She was always honest and always went for the group. And she hopes that she could make Lindbergh proud. Philip says she played passionately rather than strategically. And he admits that he convinced her to print the Passfragen, which answers a question from the paper factory.
It's funny how many times people refer to her as passionate.
I mean, her entire personality pre-season was, she's a flamenco teacher, she's quite fiery, she'll be very opinionated and stuff. And we didn't really see that. She just seemed like a very nice person. She never really lost it with people, like I was expecting it to.
Like when she was reunited with whoever was her loved one, she didn't freak out and say, oh my god, that's my loved one. Oh my god, me love.
I think in episode one, Samina kind of had glimpses of the fire, and we never really saw it when she left Belgium. And that's not a bad thing, because I really liked Samina. She was really cool.
I'm surprised Samina's husband wasn't like, what did Leonard do during the acrobat challenge? Move my bubble over, I'm going to knock him over with the bubble.
You've already told me that he does not do well when he's in a bubble. Just let me flip him upside down.
Yeah, he'll never get back up. The execution will be cancelled. You'll be able to go through. You'll be in the final five, Samina.
Yeah, I think she was a very interesting person. I never suspected her. That's the thing.
No, this is the bummer about the past two episodes. Well, actually, I guess past three is that there were four people who I did not suspect in this cast. Not suspecting Philip. Never suspecting Noah. Never suspecting Katrine. Never suspecting Samina. Three of those people have gone home in the last three episodes, all in a row. Bum, 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 bum. All that's left, if Philip goes home next week, it's like, all of my suspects since the double execution are still there.
Interestingly, of the 11 suspicions that I've given so far in these podcasts in the first 4 weeks, only one of them has gone home, and that was Kevin.
Yeah, I think it's the same for me too, isn't it?
After this week, all three of your first week suspicions are gone, because you did put Samina in third in week one.
Yeah, I'd probably like Samina, Dami, and Kevin.
Spot on. It was Dami, Kevin, then Samina in week one for you.
Yeah.
Since week one, none of our suspicions have gone home.
No, it's been like, it's either Sven, Leonard, outside shot of Annalot, and it's like, oh, I guess we're just going to execute everyone who I have never suspected. Awesome.
It does mean that, assuming Yasmin doesn't go next week, which we'll discuss in a minute, assuming she doesn't go next week, it's going to be an absolute bloodbath on the suspicions. Because I've suspected Leonard all 4 weeks so far. You've suspected him three of the four. Philip, I've suspected for three of the weeks. Sven, you've suspected three of the weeks. I suspected for 1 week. And Alotta, I've suspected for two of the weeks. It's going to be a bloodbath on suspicions if anyone other than Yasmin goes next week.
Yasmin's the one.
So next time, they do head towards Berlin. There is another paintball game with parkour athletes. Lennart and Annalotta fly to Brussels, and everyone touches cheese before an exemption is offered in East Germany. And the really fun thing is that the two main German cities that I've been to in the past few years were Munich and then Berlin. So I'm like, yes, this is continuing my trip.
In before they go to Checkpoint Charlie.
Yeah, I've been to Checkpoint Charlie. I think they might have been seen if they'd gone to Checkpoint Charlie. That's the only thing.
Isn't that the whole point of Checkpoint Charlie?
It is, but I think they would have been seen by tourists even during Corona times. I think we would have got an indication they were in Germany if Jill was seen at Checkpoint Charlie, being honest. So, in first suspicions, only one person had Samina as their bottom suspect, which was Kim, who had her in number 11. Four people had her at number 1, which was Steve, Emil, Aaron, and V. Lennis is still number 1 overall with 2.12 out of 5. Sven's now in second with 3.03. Then Philip 3.12, Yasmin 3.18, and Anna Lotta at 3.56. Philip and Sven are the only two more suspected by Logan and I than the group as a whole. The lowest score you could have on the tiebreaker is 15. Impressively, three people have a score lower than 20, and the current lowest is 18, scored by the same two people who were in the lead last week, Holger, Matt, and Carl. Logan's score is a pretty impressive 29, and I am on 23. The average score is 27.11. And a small fact that I'm not going to name who it is, but someone does have a score of 40, which is the maximum pretty much. Everyone in their list that is left in the game was put 6th through 10th on that list. I was saying this to my brother last night, it's actually very impressive to have the final five be 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th on your list. Because assuming you put Jens last, that's pretty much a gimme spot. So 40 would be the maximum score there, and someone is on 40.
Interesting.
So in the pool, Logan loses his third team member in Samina, leaving him with Yasmin and Sven. My team's still Anna, Lotta, Lennart, and Philip. And as a result of me having three people in the final five, it does mean I'm going to have someone in the final three, thankfully. Who do you suspect, Mr. Saunders? You can have two suspects this week before we go down to one next week. To warn you now.
I wonder if that's how regular mole strategy should be, considering we still get to have two suspects for who's left in the game. If you're really doing the mole, you should still have two suspects at this point.
To be fair, the number of suspects that we offer each week is roughly what we have previously discussed, how many people you should suspect with this number of people left.
Yeah. Granted, if you were a contestant, you would have four other people to suspect. We still have five.
Yeah, there is a tiny bit of logic in me saying that between these numbers you can have three suspects, between these numbers you can have two, and between these numbers you can have one, because we have discussed it before.
Sven and Lennart are still my top two, because before each challenge I'm like, if I was the mole I would do this, and that's exactly what they both did.
And my top two are still Anna, Lotta, and Lennart, but I'm swapping them this week. Lennart's my number one now again.
Anna, Lotta will definitely be my next choice if Sven or Lennart to go home next week. I really want one of those two to get executed.
I was watching Anna, Lotta again this week, and she was in some of the very suspicious situations. The only thing that kind of made me waver a little bit was the whole refusing to do the holding your breath thing, because, you know, that's drawing far too much attention on yourself. I was debating between Lennart and Sven this week, but did you see the message from John Dolan on the Reality TV Warriors page yesterday?
No, I have not. Not yet.
So John was the one who was responsible for the condescending Katrine pictures that I talked about in week two that made me laugh a lot. He tips us off yesterday evening to say, oh my god, another study carried out on salamanders found that holding oxygen helps them regenerate brain tissue. Basically, remember the axolotl obsession in episode one?
Yes.
It turns out axolotls are very good at holding their breath.
Maybe that's why Lennart likes doing that.
Exactly. In fact, it's pretty much the number one animal, if you Google it, apparently, for which animal can hold their breath the longest.
I thought a fish would be number one.
I'm just basically passing on what John said. They almost never come out of water, hold their breath and take in oxygen using their gills. So yeah, essentially, axolotls are very good at holding their breath, which may very well be a clue to Lennart. It may very well not, but I'm legally bound to mention these things, so I've put Lennart in my top two again this week as a result of that. But I was kind of wavering between him and Sven. So the final question, who do you think is going home in fifth place?
It might be Yasmin's time, considering she didn't get that much of a boost in airtime this week.
I've said that so much this season. I've said it so much this season. I feel like if I guess anyone else, Yasmin will probably go.
Yeah.
Ideally, my preferred final three would be Sven, Leonard, and Anilossa, I think, in terms of entertainment value.
And suspense.
Yeah.
I really don't suspect Philip. I really don't.
I think in some combination it probably has to be Philip and Yasmin going this week and next. I don't really care which one goes first. Obviously, I'd rather Yasmin goes first just from the pool point of view, so you only have one suspect left. But being realistic about it, I just want Leonard, Anilossa, and Sven to be the final three.
One thing I noticed, Yasmin was not wearing any glasses at this execution.
She lies with her eyes.
Yeah, I was setting you up for that. I wrote that in my notes. I'm like, I bet you're going to make a Craig reference.
It's literally the one good thing I can remember from season 5.
Oh, this part amused me with Jill's and Samina's chat, where he's like, oh, what was your favorite part? And she's like, oh, I really liked the start in the cornfield. I wish Jill's would have just jumped in and said, did you like anything after that? He's like, that was the very first challenge, Samina. Didn't you like, I don't know, the bomb game with the exploding chairs? Or pretending that you didn't eat spicy food right when you said you ate spicy food?
Did you not have fun for the remaining 12 days of this?
Yeah, it's like the cornfield was kind of the first hour. I mean, even all the people in the helmets experienced the cornfield too. That was their favorite part, and that's because that's the only thing they got to do. Same with the ends. He's like, oh, well, maybe we should have had two people jump in. It would have appreciated the shit out of the rest of the tasks, Samina.
Basically, Samina, stop being so ungrateful.
Yeah. It's like, if your best experience was the first day, then yeah, you should have been a backup. So I think the lesson here is, even if you're at Final Six, you're really confident on who you think the mole is, you still spread on the Final Six quiz.
Yeah. The general rule we work to with suspicions is anything above 7, you get 3 suspects. Between 7 and 5 people who aren't you, so Final Six quiz, you go for 2 suspects. Anything from Final 5 onwards, you go for 1 suspect.
Yeah, and even at Final 5, you can... It's not cut and dry if you should be splitting or not. If you split, you'll still survive, most likely.
If you have 4 options, you go for 1 person. If you have between 5 and 7 options, you go for 2 people. If you have anything above that, you go for 3 people.
I mean, we did have somebody in Vidim make it to the final episode with 4 people just by splitting up until a final quiz.
We did. But also, it's less likely that that happens in Belgium. Belgium like to make a big thing of more than one person will work out who the mole is. They don't like people to be surprised at the end in terms of the contestants. They prefer idiots from England in the press room to be surprised and go, fuck, when it's revealed.
That's what I mean. Like, at Final 5, you still have 4 suspects. You can probably still get away with 2 of them. I'd say it's a coin flip. Go with your gut on if you think the rest of the group knows who it is too.
Final 5 is about the point where you should be trying to get to one suspect.
Maybe just throw a few questions on a second suspect, just so you avoid that score of 0.
Yeah, it's not a hard and fast rule, because it does entirely depend on the situation you're in. But roughly about when you have 4 opponents, you should be trying to narrow it down to one person.
Or if you're Philip, you just narrow it down to one person when there's still 9 people left.
Yeah, if you're cocky like Philip, you go down to 1 at like Final 8. But if you have 4 options on the table, I would say you go down to 1 suspect at that point. Anything above that's 2 or 3.
That would be funny just to have that as a little game that they all mind game with each other at the start of the season. All of us, let's just all go for 1 suspect. Everyone say who you went for, and we'll all know who the mole is at the end of the first episode. Everyone just pick a different person. Each of us pick that person, you pick that person, and we'll just go from there.
It just turns from the mole into are you the one then?
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening to our De Mole Belgium recap. We'll be back next week to continue the hunt for a brand new mole in Germany. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, where we are RTV Warriors, or you can email us on contact at rtvwarriors.com. Logan's on Twitter at LogsupQuacky, and I'm MJ Harmstone. Thank you as always to Natalia for the subtitles, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out. And just chill till the next flavoring.